Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Yeah, let's get into the business. The games are underway. I think they mean the Olympic Games are underway. DraftKings is bringing you to the podium. DraftKings free! Play pools are available every day for the games in Tokyo and offer a free shot at up to $50,000 in total cash prizes. It's up to $50,000 up for grabs. And the best part, it's free to play! Woohoo! DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just enter. Oh, you also have to download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's events and track your results through the evening to see if you'll achieve a victory. Questions will range from medal count to questions specific to the USA team. Can we blow Iran? Yes, we
DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $50,000 in total cash prizes every day of the games in Tokyo. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details. Boop, done. All right. Season 2 of Red Wings Rant, hosted by the Brothers of Discussion, and brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network, where tirades and impassioned pleas about your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Today we're going to be taking a look at, of course, NHL free agency. The Red Wings bring it over. Q Suter. Woo! Just want to buy it. Bringing over Q's. We've got a couple other signings to discuss. We've got Sam Gagne signing back on. Luke Lundenning saying peace. And a couple other noteworthy moments from the NHL, namely the Carolina Hurricanes and the Montreal Canadiens today. If we have time, we'll touch on that too. But as always, before we get into all that fun stuff like the Montreal Canadiens and the Carolina Hurricanes, goddamn.
For Matt, we got to talk some Yzerman business. He's out there wheeling and dealing. Matt, you've heard the taming of the shrew. This is the taming of the shrewd maneuvers. Because once again, Yzerman shrewds his way into some contracts. Matt, did we win the day in free agency?
No, but we got Q Suter out of it. So, look, this is one of those things where when you brought it up, namely people that are even involved in Red Wings Rant said, you know, he was on the top of my list. And I think he was on the top of a lot of people's lists because his salary was going to come in reasonably. Clearly, his age is, what, reasonable one to continue an ICER plan with. Mike, it's 2 years, 3.25 per year, million. kid is going to be 25 when the season gets going. And 27 points in 55 games played was enough to not only be seventh in rookie points, Mike, but finished 11th in Calder voting. Now, of course, the asterisk there is first place votes was like in the 900 range, and 11th place votes means you got 12. So just pull the curtain back a little bit.
Well, you know, Well, Iserman, he used to like getting guys from the 2014 draft, right? And now he just likes getting Calder Cup runner-ups from last season, because now we've got two of them.
And yeah, we got the third place and the 11th place finisher now.
Man, how can you not like pew pew pew? I was really bummed because I thought this was going to be a biblical signing with some pious, but pews I can live with. You should definitely know this name, Red Wing fans. You know, he had that hat trick. His first, second, third rookie goals were all against us. And yeah, if you comb through the YouTube highlight videos of his mighty triumph against our Red Wings, a lot of the comments are like, yeah. We sure suck, but at least we beat the Red Wings in this video. Well, and then every third comment says, this guy looks good. I bet we trade him to Carolina next year. And they didn't. Instead, they let him go without tendering a contract, and the Red Wings swooped in and made sure he didn't score any more goals against them. So another shrewd maneuver, Matt. The centers that were available, I don't know. I know what Deneau's going to bring. He's, you know, I'd rather have him as a third center, but Pews, I'm pumped, man. This guy's got some stick handling ability. He's got great hands. When I was watching the highlights, I thought there's, you know, a few shades of Vrana in there, you know, the way he plays. So, man, I'm going to be really pumped to see those two guys get together. Or actually, there's probably two other guys you want to see him play with.
Right, and I think the most exciting part about this, which was brought up quite a bit on Twitter today, but playing with the Guelph Storm from the OHL and playing with Pius, Tyler Bertuzzi and Robbie Fabry, Mike, and I think as much as everybody has probably seen the highlights of the hat trick, what they haven't seen, Mike, was one of the best days. And I don't know if we want to say Pius Suter, Tyler Bertuzzi, Robbie Fabry history. It was November 9th, 2014. Guelph going up against London. And the three boys are the first line on the Guelph Storm at this point. Combined, and here's the highlights for you, combined for 18 points on this night. Let me pull this up so I don't screw it up. And then somebody goes, hey, that math doesn't quite add up. 7 points for our boy Tyler, 6 points for Robbie Fabry, and 5 points going in for Pius, including another hat trick that we can focus on this hat trick going forward. But what you guys are watching are all highlights of, on this one night, 18 combined points between Robbie Fabry, Tyler Bertuzzi, and Pius Suter. So that's why this is exciting, because I think when we are all putting together our lines, Mike, for the upcoming season, everybody wants to put the checkmates together. So you've got Vrana and Zadina playing together. And I think the clear center right now, before we put in an offer sheet for someone in particular, is Dylan Larkin. So now our second line is going to be Tyler Bertuzzi, Pius, and Robbie Fabry. No problem.
Yeah.
And this is it right here. We've got Tristan. Let's go. I'm so pumped. Fethdar with a good evening. Sorry, Fethdar. I'm glad to see you, but I meant to throw up this one. Which is Eric Johnson going, smart moves. But yeah, I mean, this was not only the move where I think it was the move that just, like, it's the gift that keeps on giving, right? Like, You get a guy who at least got some Calder votes. He had a very exciting first couple of weeks to last season. He's still extremely young. Not, you know, not the youngest guy. He's reasonably young for an NHL center. And he's a center, right? So now we've after we just had our last episode about the draft, and as we keep bringing up, we have the strength is our defense. Our last couple of high-profile forward draft picks are wingers. And we have Dylan Larkin, who's a, you know, he's a hometown kid, and we all kind of agree, man, is he going to be a great captain? But we're pretty weak when it comes to centers. So are we saying this is our first-line center? No. But you need to add something to this center. I don't know, not core, but you got to add something from a depth perception from our depth and the range of our depth in the Detroit Red Wings system. This isn't going to be something where we are getting a first line center, but you're getting a guy who at this point projects to be pretty solid middle six. And if you could, like we talk about every episode, if you could check off some boxes as the weeks go along, as the months go along, as the seasons go along, check off a middle six box, why don't you?
I just don't understand. How do these other GMs keep letting Yzerman just like, God, like Ahab navigating the waters? He just keeps doing these low risk, high reward moves of these guys who are right on the cusp of entering their primes. He gives them short-term deals so they can really put together statistical seasons to earn big contracts. And, you know, this guy's 25. It's the same for Nedeljkovic. Hey, buddy. I mean, we're going to draft a Kosa, right? You know, because we got to have somebody in the minors. We got to start developing some goalie talent. But you're going to come here and you're going to get tons of ice time, as much as you want. You're going to be showcased all the time. So you're entering those prime years where, you know, you've got your body and physical, you know, at its peak. You're going to get ice time. Man, it's the stunning news. I don't know how these teams keep letting him do that. $3 million is nothing. It's a drop in the bucket for this team with basically still a pretty much a wide open cap sheet. You know, still room this offseason. Then it's going to be, you know, clean next offseason and the one after that. For them literally to just do whatever they want. At first, you know, you and I were kind of joking in episodes past, like, why aren't they chasing some of the, you know, maybe go after Doug Hamilton? But I'm not too bummed. I kind of want to see how this turns out. I want to see how these prospects, as they start getting called up this season, which it sounds like it's going to be the case, now they're going to be playing with guys like Suter.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, too, about these guys playing for the future contracts, because today we got Dougie Hamilton signing with the New Jersey Devils.
A mortgage.
$9 million for 7 years, right? His best years are probably behind him, right? I mean, you don't sign in the NHL. I mean, it can sometimes be different in like the NFL with some much larger contracts coming through after the draft. But in the NHL, you really got to prove it, and then you get paid for proving it. And then, of course, you end your career with the Arizona Coyotes when they finish off your contract once they trade for you and you're retired and injured for life. But before that happens, you're getting paid in these years where Dougie's going to get paid for these 7 years and $9 million. It's such a weird way that the NHL works like that, but it's a great point for Puse. So Puse is now going to be, you know, moved around on a team where he's going to get not a ton of nationally televised games because he's on the Red Wings. But when people are seeing the Red Wings, you're going to see a lot of Puse. And if this is an opportunity for him to play with guys that he's had chemistry with in the OHL, holy crap. How is that just not thumbs up all around? I think to wrap this one up, I think we're all pretty stoked. I think this was something for me I thought came out of nowhere because we saw earlier in the day Puse was considering a lot of offers was the tweet I saw. I know that I don't think that was directly from Elliot Friedman, but he retweeted that. That's how I saw it. But anyway, the idea here too is that when I saw that, I was just like, okay, we're out of the running because he's clearly going to be considering maybe some playoff contenders. But if that was the case, Mike, the other fun part to dissect here is that he was considering a lot of offers. His agent makes the comment, this isn't happening today. And then he speaks to Steve Yzerman. And he's like, no, I'm done. Go ahead. Sign me up. I'm all about the Yzer plan. And I think that is an element of this that is getting overlooked just a little bit nationally. I think locally, we're all kind of going, yep, another Yzerman. Come. You speak to me for a couple of minutes. We're done. And Mike, what a great way to transition into earlier this morning. There was at least a Yost sighting, who's a writer for the NHL, who said the only name I've seen in regards to offer sheets is Yzerman. So, I'm just going to say, he's going to have a chance to speak with some of the restricted free agents. We've been crossing our fingers on Elias Pettersson since about halfway through the season.
Yeah, right.
And hey, we just talked about how weak we are at the center position when it comes to at least building a prospect base and trying to build a reasonable roster. So if the one name that's being bandied about in regards to making offer sheets to restricted free agents is our very own Steve Yzerman, I think we can at least keep crossing our fingers through the night.
I'm not going to hold my breath because right. I will probably die. But I just want to talk about the cap sheet one more time. So like we've given another guy who's on the cusp of entering his prime. You know, he's going to get opportunities. You know, he's still in his youth. It's not like the other suitor who almost doubled what Pius is going to make as a 36-year-old defenseman for Dallas with just an utter like madman move for the Stars. I think they maybe signed the wrong suitor. I don't know if they're hitting refresh and they can't believe that they got Ryan instead of Pius. Oops. But I just wanted to point out, Matt, the next guy, I know we're going to talk about him in a minute, is Jordan Osterley, defenseman. Just picked him up. You know, he's going to be for depth, kind of round out the roster, right? In case a defenseman goes down or, you know, one of our kids has to stay right in the minors for a little bit. Jordan Osterley, Matt, next season, he's going to be our oldest signed player at the age of 30.
Ooh, this is a fun conversation.
when you talk about, like, the cap sheet cleaning up, we're going to say goodbye to Franz Nielsen, Matt. That's going to be over. Osterley, that's it. That's it. That's our 30-year-old defenseman. I mean, you're going to have to put deals out there for, like, the Stetchers of the world. You know, we'll see how Letty does, you know, this season. If he's even a Red Wing at the trade deadline, we'll see. But this
does the Kaiser take a huge, you know, pay cut?
Sheet. Yeah, it's a clean sheet. And then all the restricted free agents, you're going to be, Zadina. That's it. I mean, you're hopefully going to be, you know, I don't know if they're going to go, was it arbitration for one more year for Bertuzzi, Ernie or Verana, depending on what happens in the, you know, next couple days or so. No. But
yeah, not for Bert. Not next. Yeah. So I think then we just roll into his UFA years.
Yeah, that should be the year to do it. But
we do have to do a cut. We're moving fast here. Shout out
to
Brett.
About, yeah.
Shout out to Brettis, who was totally miffed that we were running through all the comments and I did skip over them. But Brettis, I like it here too. I'm glad you're along. And then Eric Johnson and I think we had a couple of mentions here. And Jonathan D. Williams, both talking about some centers moving around. So do we leave Vlano and Rask in the bottom six or shift to wing? I think a lot of that's going to depend on what else can shake out through training camp. You know what? Obviously. Why am I saying that? I think there's a space, though, for Rasmussen to continue in that fourth line, and I think that works for me. But I think the important thing is that these guys are going to get some power play time. So as these guys continue to develop, as long as they get ice time, we're okay. This is another season where we shouldn't expect the Stanley Cup. So here's how I'm looking at it. If we build those, the top six right now is built out the way we kind of just fantasy booked it. Again, got the Checkmates and Larkin, and then we've got the Guelph Storm doing their family reunion. If everything's shaking out to where it's maybe a random assortment of who we had coming up last year, if a Raymond or Berggren fits in there at some point. And of course, we just brought up Sam Gagner again, getting extended or re-signed, however you want to put that. At this point, I'm fine if this is just shaken up through the whole season. Because again, I think by the end of the season, you want to make sure that you've gotten a lot of looks at Veleno and Rass. And I can't imagine that any of these guys are really going to be building their way through into the top six unless there's some injuries. And I think right now Steve's okay with that. And I don't know if I've seen enough from Veleno to say that he absolutely deserves to be in the top six. I think he did look pretty great at the end of last season. And another thing, too, is we saw Rasmussen really throwing his weight around at the end of last year. And I don't know if maybe we just ride that, you know, ride that idea that he was really getting into, all right, I'm a big boy out here. I'm going to use that just to take over whatever I'm doing and really lean into his physical side and put, you know, make him a bottom six forward. And like I said, we're checking off boxes as we continue each season, each month, each day. If that's another box we could check off is a reliable center and work on somebody that's going to be pretty physical and eat some ice time with his physicality, I'm cool with that. But again, I think the important thing for those guys is to get power play time. I want to see what they look like with Alex Tungay's power play. I want to see how they're going to use this collection of all these names we're throwing out there to build out two different power play lines. And that, for me, I think should ever be everybody's concern is as long as they're all getting some chances. And, you know, I know we all try to peg everybody for a specific spot on a power play. And we're all excited that Sam Gagner is going to be able to fit somewhere on the second power play. It just hasn't been successful for a few years now. Let's move guys around. I don't care if Rasmussen's out on the point. I want to move people around so we can figure out what's actually going to work. Now, Rasmussen was very successful out in front of the net last season. So, of course, I say that in jest. But, again, let's focus on the power play. If these guys are getting ice time when we were talking about the top four lines, that's fun. But ultimately, I think the first moment we start to complain is when we're halfway through the season. And if Rasmussen, Veleno, if Berggren makes the team and those guys haven't sniffed any power play time, then we're angry. But before then, I'm fine if they're just making the team. But clearly, you know, we look at it as Red Wings fans and we say, wow, this is maybe not stacked, but we get really excited because we have all these first round draft picks making the team or at least sniffing the roster. But until these guys start to make some headway in special teams, I really just see these guys as, you know, right now we have a team to ice, but I want to see them make a difference in special teams.
Well, I would say, Matt, much to your point with the power play, I do not really see a scenario next season where they don't have four forwards per power play line and then one defenseman. I think, you know, we've seen Letty in his career, you know, try to quarterback a power player too. But, you know, when I mentioned the cap sheet getting cleaned up of 30-year-olds, there's a lot of 30-year-old defensemen this season. So it kind of feels like what they're setting up is a lot of veteran defense to kind of stay home outside of Letty, who we know likes to, you know, score a bit. And kind of let these kids just prove themselves with all these guys who are all like 24, 25, 22, 21, 26, 25. And then you're looking at 30, 31, 34, 27, 29. That's all the defensemen, you know, outside of recently re-signed Lindstrom or, you know, Sider, when we know he's going to get his time on the main roster, as we like to call it. But, yeah, it's going to be a pretty interesting dynamic because we might need these guys to grow up really quick when all those 30-year-old guys are gone after this season. So it's kind of like this is going to be a proving ground to see who's got it as far as like defining roles, who's going to be in the top six or bottom six, like Jonathan asked. It's, man, this is going to be if they open up that Traverse City camp like they used to, that would be a fascinating visit to see who earns those top spots. It's going to be a really competitive just like civil war to see who gets those top two lines for the Red Wings. Feels like we've waited a couple years here, Matt, for them to be relevant. This feels like we're right on the cusp of being like really exciting hockey to watch. All these guys hitting that age where they know what they're doing.
Right.
They understand the plan and see what Blashill and Tanguay can put together.
Can I say too, like this line that we fantasy booked for ourselves is the Guelph Storm reunion. Doesn't that feel like the third line though? Like once we're in the playoffs, that's going to put up a ton of points, you know, like they become reliable and whatnot. Like that's how I'm fantasy booking this in my head. All right. Now to diehard Red Wings fans point, or his question, do you think Raymond or Bergeron is going to be on the opening night roster? I like what happened today through Ice Hockey Gifts as they retweeted a little translated Q&A with Lucas Raymond. But the bottom note here is Lucas Raymond aims to make an NHL roster spot. Otherwise, I wouldn't go over there. I absolutely love this so much. There's a lot to happen between this tweet, Lucas saying that, and of course night number one and whatever the Iser plan is. We don't want Lucas to be too good, of course. We still have some other draft picks we'd like to attain. But yeah. Goddamn, Mike, Lucas Raymond coming in hot today. I thought this was fun, and this was something that kind of flew under the radar for Red Wings fans as we were all giddy over Puse. But I was hoping to figure this into the episode today. Not too much to go off of. You know, Lucas is feeling comfortable with.
Did we not just see a recent interview from Yzerman where he wanted to leave the roster spots, have some more flexibility to see if Bergeron or
right
come up? So it feels like, Yzerman's kind of got that in his back pocket. Like I think he, he's probably been watching some tape. These guys lighten up the stat sheet a little bit, and they're gonna be. They're going to be so exciting, potentially. I'm kind of giddy. And all it took was Pews just trying to, even out this roster build a little bit with the center with some skill. I'm just really pumped up right now.
Well, you brought up Jordan Oesterle already, where he's going to be our only 30-year-old guy under contract next season, this upcoming season. But he's fun. He comes from Dearborn Heights, Mike. So
hey,
from our hometown adjacent, since we're from Dearborn. Medium sized boy at 6 foot, 182 pounds, shoots left. Through what we usually look at is Jay Fresh's war models, he does pop up at a 29%. And as we normally look at those, I mean, last week we were looking at Mark Stahl, he's at 3%. So we were talking earlier today with one of the other Red Wing podcasts, and the thought was brought up that this guy is either depth or Grand Rapids bound. And I said, well, the $1.35 million definitely tells me that he's depth before Grand Rapids bound, because he also doesn't have a minor league contract worked into that. So if we send him to the minors, he's getting paid $1.35 million. So I'm pretty sure their plan was not to send him to Grand Rapids. But with that being said, If we're looking at Jordan right now, and I'm just going to keep calling him Jordan because that Oesterle is really bugging me. I gotta look up how to actually say that line's name.
Oh, I got it, man. I got it. I'm on Hockey Reference. I got you. Jordan Oesterle.
Jordan actually comes in with a higher war percentage than Nick Leddy. So he's coming in pretty juicy over Nick Leddy and Mark Stahl. So if there's a spot for him to earn.
If you see somebody sizzling on the blue line, you're like, whoa, who's that making Mark Stahl and Leddy look ridiculous? That's Oesterle, baby. The only 30-year-old on this Red Wing roster in 2022. Yeah.
I wonder if I can... I'm going to try and get this up as quickly as possible here, because I want y'all to see this, because this actually is pretty interesting. Like, what... I guess what he ranks highest on? I don't want to pull this up here. So this is Jordan from Jay Fresh. This is where it's interesting for me, is that we're seeing a lot of efficiency from the offensive side at 56%, and it's all the he's not efficient defensively. So he's at 19%. And the way that you guys want to measure these, I got this question earlier today, so I thought I'd throw this out there. But you just want to tell yourself, compared to the rest of the league, on the offensive side, and I wonder if my mouse is, yep. So this 56% right here, this means that he's in the top 56% of the league. So there's only another 44% that are, or 44% of the league is better than Jordan. So he's better. He's in the top half of the league, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, of offensive efficiency. But defensively, woo doggies. So he got called earlier today, the Alex Biega. I would challenge that and say maybe he's more of a Christian Juice, considering there's some more offensive output.
Yep.
What was that?
No, that's what I thought you were going to say. Those are the exact numbers I thought we were leaning towards there. Kind of a more offensive defenseman.
Exactly. Hey, we go back to the guy who got our first power play goal in however many games. So I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. I think it's pretty accurate to just look at him as a movable contract.
Steve Eiserman, hi. One of your scouts here. Just letting you know, we lost Dennis Chalowski. So if we could get another defenseman with the last name that's kind of difficult to rattle off the old tongue there, you can make some phone calls. We found this Jordan Osterley. I don't know. Losterley? Toterley? Toasterley. Yeah, you'll love him. He's a barely competent defensive defenseman, but man, he'll score a goal once in a while. There you go. So yeah, he'll fit right in, Matt. He'll play five games for us.
And yeah. Around the fur with the fun point here, we talked earlier about the Guelph Storm reunion. We also have a Western Michigan reunion with Danny DeKeyser and Jordan. So there we go.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. A couple of points here, too. We did gloss over coming from Eric and a diehard Red Wings fan about Lucas Raymond being our superstar. Whatever we said about Lucas making it on the team or not making it, it's not reflective of how we feel about Lucas in the long term. You draft a kid number 4 overall. We're crossing our fingers at superstar.
I mean, we hold our breath. He would be playing every single power play in Grand Rapids, or being third or fourth line probably in Detroit while he kind of gets used to the ice up there. So it's just Red Wings are always kind of patient with their prospects. So I would be pretty surprised to see Lucas, but we might get a cameo or two.
Now, speaking of Grand Rapids, we did make a signing that is, I was about to say a young man. He's younger than us. But Ryan Murphy, Mike, the AHL Defenseman of the Year, coming from the Silver Knights, of course, the Golden Knights affiliate, coming over to Grand Rapids. This wasn't anything to be too excited from the Red Wings side, unless you're looking at it from the perspective of, there's a lot of young defensemen that should be going through that system, and they can't always learn from NHL pros. So why don't I? This is what I was excited about.
We got Crash Davis.
AHL, right? Exactly.
We got Crash Davis from
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. Thank you.
We just brought in Crash Davis to help out. I mean, we're I think we're pretty good writing in Moritz Seider into this.
He's out there to teach Mo Seider his cliches. You know, I'm just here to help the ball club. You know, hopefully Murphy brushes up.
No, I'm saying not Moritz Seider. I'm saying we're writing him in on the main club.
Oh, you're writing him in. All right.
Okay. Gustav Lindstrom, Jared McIsaac, Albert Johansson, Donovan Sabrango, who started last year, Seth Barton, Emil Vero, and Wyatt Neupower are all under contract right now. So we needed somebody to help bring the... Now, it is actually Wyatt is listed under both Grand Rapids and the Detroit Red Wings. So that's interesting. He'll clearly get a shot once training camp starts. But I think we're pretty safe to say that there's a chance he'll sniff Grand Rapids sometime next year. So all those names thrown together, and now they can play along with the AHL Defenseman of the Year. So again, nothing to be too excited about. He's either 28 or 29 at this point. There's nothing to be excited about from the Red Wings perspective, but for all of us playing the long-term game, Ryan Murphy in to help bring along some of the youngins. And I like it. It's kind of cute. I mean, if you're going to bring in anybody onto that AHL team, I like that we can at least look back and say, hey, AHL Defenseman of the Year. Fun.
Yeah, he's going to be a playing coach, right? So he's either going to be Crash Davis, and he's 28, man. AHL Player of the Year. Maybe he'll be JD Martinez in a Red Wing uniform. You never know. Maybe he figured it out at age 28 here, and he's going to start cranking in, 30 to 40 goals a season. Probably not, but, we'll see. I think we had one more hometown boy here, Matt. I can't remember if we mentioned Sam Gagner officially back.
I listed it as 850,000 question mark. Doesn't matter. It's whatever the lowest amount Sam could sign for, he took it. But we know why he's here. Right-handed shot.
God bless him keeping that cap sheet clean. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, what a nice guy. And then in his interview today, he's really excited to work with Alex Tungay. So we were just talking about the vets bringing along kids in the AHL. Clearly Sam's going to be able to help Alex round things out here. And maybe Sam's looking for a future job. Maybe he's looking for that future coaching job. Who knows? all right. So a couple other notable NHL moves today. We'll kind of jump down to the bottom of this list, Mike, should I say it? That wraps up all of our Red Wings news for today.
Maybe. if we get another offer sheet. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we could get an offer sheet. Luke Lindenning signs with the Dallas Stars. So we bid him adieu. We thank him for his years of service. Mike, we came into this podcast. He was your favorite guy. Week after week, we would try and highlight something that made Luke Lindenning's performance worthwhile. how does it feel, Mike, to know we won't be able to do that next season? Are you now a Dallas Stars fan?
I can't wait to buy my Glendenning Stars jersey. He was already a star in my heart, and now he's a star in Dallas. I can't wait for him to win a bunch of faceoffs, dominate as a fourth-line center for the team in Dallas. But again, Matt, I'm still not sure that he meant to sign with them. He just signed an offer, with somebody. A city starts with D. He saw a suitor. He knew the Wings were getting a suitor, and he just, Ryan. Oh man, I want to pew, 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 pew. So, an honest mistake. He'll probably be back in Detroit in two seasons. So,
around the fur. I hope this isn't the first time you heard about it. That's a good way to transition. Dallas, signs, Ryan Suter. Not the first time that hockey has seen a major move from Minnesota to Dallas. So there you go. Of course, reference to the North Stars moving over to become the Dallas Stars. Zing.
The old uprooting of a hockey team. Nothing like that, huh?
Right. Those are comparable. All right, Mike. I like how you put this, too, because they are absolutely stacked at center, including their prospect line. The LA Kings bring in our number two darling, analytics darling on the free agent wire. So number one was Dougie Hamilton going to New Jersey. Number two, Philip Deneau going to the LA Kings. Again, absolutely stacked, locked and loaded. There are some guys on the Kings that are they've got to be moving to wing because there you go. You've got your second or third line center locked and ready to go. All right. Mike, let's get into the not fun news.
I had one more fun one.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Guaranteeing he will not be winning a playoff series for the next 3 years. Matt, Peter Mrazek joining the Toronto Maple Leafs. Going to play a little bit of goalie for them. And he's tired of these long, arduous seasons, deep playoff runs. He wants to be out in the first round. So he's guaranteed that here for the next 3 years. Congratulations to Peter. He's going to have a long time to work on that golf swing. So, Mrazek, good luck up in our brothers to the north.
Well, this is a good transition because Carolina is the one who let Peter go. And I think they now have become number two heel in the league to Montreal, who we could also discuss quickly.
Very quickly.
But Carolina, number two heel in the league after signing Tony DeAngelo today, after we all kind of played the same game that we hoped would be played with Logan Milleau, would be he doesn't get drafted. We were kind of hoping that Tony DeAngelo wouldn't get signed because he's a racist piece of garbage. So here we are. He signed Carolina with probably the biggest downgrade of all, to go from Dougie Hamilton, the analytics darling, everybody loves him because he doesn't hang out with his teammates and he goes to museums instead, and to replace him is the absolute douche of the league, Tony D'Angelo. Just riddled with issues when he was in the OHL, of course, more problems in the NHL. New York Rangers were at the point where he was starting fights within the team. Said if you do one more incident, you're gone. All of a sudden, boom, waivers, and then never played again. Just not fun to think about.
A cultural 180 with like what Yzerman's trying to build with these feel good signings. You know, these guys are on the cusp. They're all good attitudes. You know, they've had pretty strong upbringing and coaching, and you know, they're positive contributors to a locker room. Oof. And then you could go to Montreal or Carolina, and it's not worth like the risk of the marginally better skill that a D'Angelo might bring. It's just stunning. I know sports is all about performance, so he's going to get, you know, judged on how he plays on the ice, even if he said some really rotten things and is not too, you know, distant past.
Right.
But man, we really, knock on wood, we really got it good with Yzerman. It really feels like he's picking not just these highly skilled players, but a lot of high character guys. So I'm glad that we're not a part of that.
Yeah, and we did get the question, how is Tony racist? Well, the only thing we can go by is the OHL suspending him for violating the league's harassment and diversity policies. So he used a slur directed at a teammate.
He's also been harassing like referees,
right,
and officials. So
also in Arizona with the Coyotes, and then with teammates with the New York Rangers. So this is just and it's his Twitter account supported certain politicians that may or not lean in a less diverse direction.
It's, you know, you're gonna vote who you vote for, but you know, there's certain aspects that you probably don't need to focus on, those being, you know, the more racist and homophobic characteristics of certain politicians. You probably don't need to advocate for, you know what I mean? It's one thing to vote, right, for somebody who has a tax plan that you like, but when they're, you know, questioning others' civil rights, that's usually not something you want to be a part of. But that's enough talk, yeah, about him. Matt, let's move on.
Last one, the notable NHL moves is that Montreal apologized for drafting Logan today in the middle of the free agent frenzy. So hoping that this would just kind of be swept under the rug while everybody was signing people. That was probably sign number one that this was going to be ugly. Sign number two is that they had to have a press conference right after this letter was released. So they knew it wasn't going to go great. But number three, Mike, is the actual words in the letter where basically, this is how I summed it up on Twitter, was they said, we hope that everyone will respect our wish to not accept the consequences for our terrible decision. It's pretty much what I read. They said, of course, for anybody who's not familiar, Logan Mailloux, who was drafted, was pick 31, was asked not to be drafted after it was, put into North American news media that he was getting in trouble in his home country for having taken a picture of a woman that he spent the night with without her consent. And then, of course, displaying that content to his friends and whoever else, which, again, did not give her consent to. So when Logan saw that most NHL teams were not going to draft him, he tried to rescind his name from the draft, which you cannot do. And Montreal decided that, no, not only do I need to draft this kid, I need to draft him in the first round. And basically, I think Montreal's at this point where, you know, they almost won a Stanley Cup. They can't really afford to waste any moves right now. They have, you know, Shea Weber, his career is like done. There's this like a 1% chance he might come back, but pretty much his career's done. Carey Price has almost had a season-ending surgery, but it looks like he will be back. So they're really tiptoeing, and now they pretty much wasted a first round pick because they've been pressured into not letting Logan join their training camp. But what we all wanted to have happen was that they would have just let Logan go. And pretty much what they said was, we understand that you're all upset. We're not dropping this first round pick. Thank you. Yeah. And that was that. Just a lot more, you know, or more paragraphs, I would say.
I can't get behind that. It's just going to be a really easy rooting interest should they, you know, find their way into the playoffs, rooting against them, of course. Even though I'm pretty jealous that they did nab Savard for a pretty reasonable contract. Damn it. But, gross. Why? There aren't, you know, 200 prospects for you to choose from every year, you know, who aren't pieces of garbage. It just, why not was available in the first round?
Right, Cameron, why not? All right, well, here's the thing. I mean, this thing sucks. We're kind of falling down a pit of despair. So last thing, Mike, we'll jump back into a question we got earlier today. I'm sorry, earlier in the episode. Let me try and find it so we can have some more fun instead of just being sad about Montreal and Carolina. But Mike, how about Lucas Raymond, Suter, and Berggren?
I like it a lot.
All right, you want to know why I hesitated? Almost said Ryan because we had that whole segment about Ryan Suter. But Pugh Suter and Johnson Berggren.
I can't not think of pew, 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 pew.
I know.
That's...
Okay, I'll wrap this up by saying I do love Lucas Raymond and how excited he is to come. I don't think he's going to start the season with us, but it does make sense at some point for Berggren and Lucas Raymond to hook up on the same line, especially when they're both on the main roster. So, of course, stealing my wrestling terms there, but when they're on the main roster, I'm going to say it only makes too much sense, and it makes the same amount of sense as to why I'd want to at least see Bertuzzi, Fabry, and Suter playing together for a while since they played together in the OHL. At this point, I think when we booked our lineups for the upcoming season, I think I actually put Valeno in that in the center position there because I was projecting this if this was a possibility to be more like a third line. But, hey, nobody really hates Valeno. He played great in regards to being a two-way center, so that could still be your second line. Like I mentioned earlier, we really want this to be a playoff team. You're booking that Suter, Bertuzzi, Fabry line as your third line. That's not necessarily going to be, you know, if you're a championship team, that's where you want that. That's where the Tampa Bay Lightning have that line. That's their third line. All right.
Yeah,
and
I got to say, before we go to like the, I don't know, the availability of the unrestricted free agents this year, it wasn't really a who's who of, man, I hope the Red Wings get him. I mean, it would have been cool to get Dougie, but, I mean, the dude's already in his 30s. And we got, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys his size that were developing. So I'm not, like, heartbroken that we didn't get Dougie Hamilton. Obviously, I wanted some centers. That's probably the Red Wings', you know, toughest or biggest weakness. We've had so many people in the comments today talking about, you know, the wings, you know, in the minors that we want to see get a call-up. And it feels like they're on the cusp, but it'd be exciting to see them. So, I mean, the one spot where we would want a center, there aren't really, like, marquee centers outside of your boy, Matt. I don't know if you refreshed to see if the Red Wings put an offer sheet on.
I haven't recently, but I'm guessing they haven't.
They haven't. No, I would have been screaming. But, I mean, the centers that got signed, I mean, did you want Hoffman? Did you want Deneau at, you know, $4 or $5 million, you know, at, you know, hitting close to 30? No, I'm okay with Pugh. I think that's a good move, and I'm not bummed at all, and I'm okay if this is all the Red Wings end up doing outside of one very particular restricted free agent offer sheet that we're going to keep refreshing on.
All right, so while we hold our breath, Mike, I don't know about you, but I'm about to fortify my walls, my windows, and my house because we have a flash flood warning in Howell for the storm of the century that's coming tonight. So we're going to see, hey, maybe you said you had some problems in your basement. Maybe I'll have a matching basement after tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right. Have fun,
man. See how this goes. Right, fingers crossed. Hopefully Elias Pettersson and my basement does not flood tonight. We'll let you guys know on Sunday what happens for both of them.
All right, good luck. Thanks everybody for commenting. This was a really fun one. And I feel like we were one of the winners of free agency day.
All right, thanks everybody.